Good evening. I want to welcome again each one of you for being here this evening. Appreciate those who may be visiting with us. Encourage you to come back whenever you have the opportunity. One announcement I need to repeat and to update is that the VBS actual dinner Wednesday will be at 5:45, as it stated in the bulletin. So 5:45 will be the dinner Wednesday, as it's also a VBS meeting for the upcoming Vacation Bible School in July. If you have any questions about that, please come see me, and I'll be glad to try to help in any way be possible. This time, let's go to God in prayer. Holy and righteous Father, we come in your presence. And Father, we ask, as we have come from various activities of the day, from our family homes and from activities that required us to focus in various directions, we pray that we will have a calm spirit, that we can refocus on your word and glorifying who you are. Father, I thank you for this time that we have to study your word, to be in the presence of your family, and to be able to take this opportunity not only to worship you, but to encourage one another as we begin a new week and face many trials and temptations. And Father, we pray that we'll have strength to overcome. Father, we pray that you bless the lesson tonight, bless those who will hear it. Father, we pray that we will open up your word as we open our mind and we search the scriptures and try to come to an understanding and how to live for you all the more. We thank you so much for Jesus and what he means to us, and we pray that we will always put him first in our life. And Father, we pray that you forgive us of our sins and when we have neglected to do so. We're so thankful that your Son came to this earth and died on the cross and raised from the grave and gives us that hope of eternal life. It's in his name we pray. Amen. The 5-year-old girl was rushed to the side of her newborn brother in the hospital room. She is quick to do so because she had a nagging question on her mind. She wanted to know what God was like. And so she figured that having just come from heaven, that he might know. And so she rushed to his side and blurted out the question, "What is God like?" Alas, the little infant just gurgled and rolled his eyes and turned his head. Little girls are not the only ones who want to know what God is like. I believe a large part of why you're here tonight is because you want to know what God is like. There are many people in our world wanting to know what God is like. And so the best place to turn, the only place to turn, is God's Word, the Bible. The Bible, as we read it and study it, helps us understand what God is like. One of those particular books that is so intriguing and helps us learn more about who God is the book of Exodus. In the book of Exodus, there are many characteristics of God that are revealed. And in the Bible classes this quarter, we're looking at the book of Exodus. And as I have opportunity to preach from this pulpit, I will be sharing lessons, Lord willing, from the book of Exodus as well. And so as we look at this book, one of the questions that come to mind, why study it? Why study the book of Exodus? Why study about Moses? Well, and the short answer is we get to learn more about God. But there are some other things we think about. We think about, because it's in the Bible, we have an opportunity to study it. It's God's word, so we get to study it. We think about maybe Moses, and many of us have learned about Moses from the time we were children, going to Bible school, and we've learned about Moses, and it's a fascinating story about his birth and his parents hiding him, and then his mother putting him in that basket in the Nile River, about the extraordinary way that he was found by Pharaoh's daughter, and then how he grew up in Pharaoh's house, and then how he eventually became the great leader of the Israelite nation. Fascinating story. It is worth our study. But there's some other things we might think about, that it is one of the books in the Bible. Moses is one of the 40 inspired writers. All of these are interesting things that would draw our attention to study. But there is one thing that stands out above all of these reasons. And that one thing is that Moses speaks about Jesus Christ. I appreciated the song that Brian sung tonight, Tell Me the Story of Jesus. And that is exactly why we study Moses, because he helps us understand the story of Jesus Christ. Look in your Bibles with me. We're going to be looking in basically the Old and New Testament. But if you keep your finger in Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 15, the first verse I want to look at, and notice what Moses has to say. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your countrymen. You shall listen to him. Moses, in his second giving of the law and talking to the Israelites in the book of Deuteronomy before he leaves this earth, reminds the Israelites and foretells in this prophetic wording here that there is going to be one that comes that will be a prophet like me. Come from your own countrymen, from your own people. Listen to him. Now jump with me over to the New Testament in Acts chapter 3. In Acts chapter 3, beginning in verse 22, Peter, in the second sermon that he gives in the book of Acts to the Jewish people, we see that as he is proclaiming the message of God, he is connecting with his audience, who are primarily Jews, and he says this in verse 22, Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren, to him you shall give heed to everything he says to you, and it will be that every soul that does not heed that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Peter is telling us that what Moses spoke long ago is true. And that now that Jesus has come to this earth and he has died, he is buried and resurrected, that it has come to reality, come to fulfillment. And so what was spoken long ago in the words of Moses were true are now being fulfilled. So let's look closer at why we should study Moses. Well, first, number one, Moses said Christ would be a prophet. Notice in Acts chapter 3, verse 22, or in the passage in Deuteronomy, we shall see that Moses mentions that there would be a prophet like him. Now, understand that there was a test to be a prophet. In Deuteronomy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, as well as Deuteronomy 18 through 22, it is sometimes called the prophet test. In fact, as we read these passages and investigate them, God had given Moses the words to remind the people of Israel that everyone that came along spouting off Scripture was, or saying they came speaking for God, was not for God. Everyone that had a dream or an interpretation or someone that just came along doesn't necessarily mean that they're from God. As we read in Deuteronomy chapter 13 and chapter 18, it was a test. Even if something that was spoken by a prophet come true, but they honored another god besides the true and living God, was considered a false prophet. If they said something that was true and it came to be and it pointed to God, then they were a true prophet, a prophet test. And so it reminds us that the Jews were to be cautious, and they were to test those things that people who claimed they were prophets were to be tested. You wouldn't be gullible. You wouldn't take everything in. And just like the Jews of old, we are reminded of a very similar thing in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, where John here reminds us that we are to test every spirit, not to believe every spirit that's in the world, for there are many false prophets that have gone out into the world. Relay this, because as we look back at the truthfulness of the prophet that Moses is talking about, we need to keep in mind that Moses is pointing ultimately to Jesus, the prophet. Jesus passes the test. And Moses points to here in Deuteronomy 18 and verse 15, he's pointing to Christ ultimately, and that Jesus did pass that test. Jesus was the true prophet that came from among the Jews. Not only did Jesus fulfill over 300 prophecies from the Old Testament, he also spoke prophecies. I think that's sometimes what gets left out, and sometimes we don't realize it, that when Jesus came to this earth and walked upon it, that in his teachings of his parables and his miraculous gifts and healings and feeding the 4,000 and 5,000, a number of other things he did, he also prophesied. He spoke about future events, and they came to reality. For example, many times he talked to his disciples that he must suffer, that he must die, and he would be raised from the grave. We see such passages in Matthew 16, verse 21. And he tells us that very thing, that there was going to be a time where he would go to Jerusalem, and he would suffer among the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and on the third day he'd be raised. We know from this side of the cross, that came to be just as he spoke. Jesus indicates here, just by this one proof, that he is a true prophet. But he spoke other things. He foretold Peter denying him in Matthew 26 and verse 75. He foretold Judas betraying him in that same chapter in Matthew 26, 23 through 25. He foretold Jerusalem being destroyed in Matthew 24, and in AD 70, we see it happen just as he spoke. Jesus proved that he was the true prophet. He proved that he was not somebody just spouting off scripture, somebody who was just pretending to be a Messiah. He was the true and living Messiah. He was a prophet of the Word of God. But second, just like Moses, Jesus brought forth the Word of God. Understand that he brought forth the Word of God. When we mention a prophet, oftentimes we think of someone who tells of future events. That is not the only role a prophet had. In fact, we see Moses, as well as other prophets, would relay what God has already spoken. For example, in Exodus 20, we see that Moses goes up on Mount Sinai and receives the Ten Commandments. Well, when he receives that, God speaks. It was Moses' responsibility to tell the Word of God, to tell and relay that message. And so that became part of his responsibility. We see it repeated in the book of Deuteronomy. We see that all the other commands that were given are rooted in the Ten Commandments. And so Moses is a prophet who foretells as well as foretells the Word of God, relaying what God has spoken and reminding the people, the Israelites, to keep the commands that God has already spoken. Jesus does a very similar thing. This idea of Jesus being a prophet was not only that he could foretell future events, but he was concerned, and his mission was also about preaching and teaching the Word of God. Notice in Luke chapter 4 and verse 43, notice what he said, as he went around, he preached the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns as well, and for I was sent for this purpose. His purpose was not only to foretell future events, but it was to tell and proclaim the good news of the kingdom, to preach the word. Over in Luke chapter 4 and verse 16, it was Jesus, comes in a synagogue on the Sabbath day. He came to Nazareth when he had been brought up, and as it was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and he stood up to read. He read scripture. Jesus' custom was to read scripture. Jesus knew scripture. Jesus quoted scripture. Jesus preached scripture. Jesus brought forth the word of God. And Luke 4:16 says it was his custom. Let me ask you on a side note, is reading and studying scripture our custom? Is it something that we value, something we believe that is essential to our following God? Is reading scripture our custom? It was important to Christ. It was important to him in his ministry and his work upon this earth to read and study and proclaim the word of God, just as Moses said, as a prophet like him, foretelling and foretelling the word of God. Now, I think it's important to note, and as a side note, that yes, Jesus was a prophet, but understand, there are also many religions in our world today that believe that very truth, but that's all they believe. There are those who are Jewish, there are those who are Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses, even some Hindus and Muslims that believe that Jesus was a prophet, but it ends there. For example, the Muslims believe that God has spoken through numerous prophets down through history, and they believe that the six greatest prophets are Adam and Noah, Abraham, Moses, Jesus, and Muhammad, who is the last and greatest of all Allah's messengers. They believe that Jesus is a prophet, but understand, Jesus was so much more than a prophet. He was a true prophet. He was the prophet that God had spoke through Moses and telling us about. But he also made predictions that came true. He performed miracles. He had teachings that relayed and helped us draw closer to God. And ultimately, he is the Son of the living and true God. One of the things that separates Christianity from all the other religions of the world is that we believe that Jesus, the Son of God, is the prophet who brings salvation, that he is the Son of God, that when we confess his name, repent of our sins, and put him on a baptism, we become a new creature in Christ, that he redeemed us of all our sins, he has washed them away through his blood. That is what sets us apart. Jesus is a prophet, but so much more. Number two, Moses said Jesus would come from the Jews. Notice again, Deuteronomy 18 and verse 18. It says, I will raise up a prophet that like you from among your brothers. In the context, Moses is talking to the Jews. He's talking to the Israelite people. And so we see that the prophet that Moses is talking about, the Messiah, is going to come from the line of the Jewish people. We see this mentioned a number of times in Scripture. For example, Moses records in Genesis 49 and verse 9 that Jesus had come from the tribe of Judah, and he does. The major genealogies in the Old Testament link people and family groups in the unfolding scheme of redemption through the Hebrew people, relaying to us particularly how Jesus came about. We know that as we look in Matthew, and in Luke and the genealogies that are mentioned there, that Jesus came from Abraham and David and on down. That this is the line of Judah. This is the line from Noah. This is the line from Adam. Luke and Matthew give as a major proof that Jesus is a true Messiah that comes from the Jews. See, God had promised back in Genesis chapter 12, in verse 2, that when he made a covenant with Abraham, that all nations would be blessed. Well, how was he going to do that? Through the Jewish people, and ultimately bringing about Jesus Christ. And God kept his word. God always keeps his word. And God had promised to raise up a Messiah, a Savior, through the line of David. He did. Notice Isaiah 11, verse 1. Here shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. Jesse being David's father, and Isaiah is making this prophetic message that there is going to be a line, a root, a family member from the line of Jesse that ultimately bring salvation. All the way through the Old Testament, all the way through the genealogies of that we see about Jesus, God was faithful. God was faithful. And he still is faithful. And because of that, he brought Christ through the Jews just as he promised. But number three, notice again, Moses said that the people must listen to him. Must listen to Jesus and whatever he tells us. Notice again in the context of Deuteronomy that Moses is relaying to the Israelites and preparing for his death. And he is telling them to look forward to the Messiah. Look forward to this prophet. And when he comes, listen to him. Moses is basically saying that the law of Moses, the rules and regulations that have been handed down to him that he has currently giving to the Israelites will not endure forever. That there is going to be a time when they will come to the end, and at that point, there's going to be a new order, a new covenant, a new direction. And Moses says, listen to the one who brings it. Listen to Jesus. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, when Jesus is preaching in the Sermon on the Mount, he says this, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. And when Jesus fulfills them, again, over 300 prophecies, he fulfills what it says, he completes it, puts it away, and ushers in a new covenant. To where we go to John 14 and 6, where Jesus now says, I am the way, the life, the truth, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Not through Moses, not through keeping the sacrifices, and not through going to the temple, and not all the rules and regulations of the old covenant, but now through Christ. Christ is the way. He is the truth. He is the way to the Father. He is the life. Jesus will go on to say in Matthew 24 and verse 35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Notice how contrast that is with what Moses says. Moses, here in Deuteronomy 18, reminds us that his words are going to be temporary. You listen to the prophet. Jesus says, my words will continue. They will endure. They will not pass away. Moses would say, listen to that. Listen to him. Before Jesus ascends into heaven, we often call it the Great Commission. In Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Jesus says he has all authority. And he tells his disciples, his followers, go into all the world, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and lo, I'm with you always. Jesus is reminding us that it is a new covenant, a new way, that in order to be his people, his followers, we come in a new way, believing and repenting and being baptized and continue to be taught. See, Jesus came in this world and he came teaching. Now, this teaching that we are talking about is just not about gaining knowledge per se. Oh, that's important. But the idea what Jesus is conveying here in regard to teaching and listening, what Moses wants us to do and listening to Jesus' words, is about observing and following, obeying and living. Think about what good it would be for any of us if we would just listen to the Bible but didn't practice it. Most of us understand what the scriptures say. That would be useless. In Matthew chapter 7, 21, Jesus had this to say, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter in the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Jesus is reminding us that there has got to be some effort in our hearing, that there needs to be some obedience, there needs to be doing the will of the Father. And the idea that Jesus is presenting here is keep on practicing, keep on observing, keep on living. As we teach others, we continue to learn and to share and to live what he has instructed us. See, Christianity and what Moses is telling us is we need to listen to Jesus' words and enact them out in our everyday life. Notice what Jesus says in John 8, 31. If you abide in my word, then you are truly my disciples. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. What did Moses say? Listen. Listen to him. And Jesus reminds us that we need to continue to abide in him. No one can be a genuine disciple of Jesus who does not live his teachings and teach them to others and how to live. That is precisely Moses' point. Live for Jesus. Follow him. It's not about going to the Old Testament and living what Moses taught. It's listening to Moses and saying, hey, follow Jesus. Even Moses is pointing and encouraging and teaching and directing and commanding us to follow Jesus. As we conclude tonight, and the title of this lesson and the question we've been trying to answer is, why should we study Moses? And the point is, he tells us and directs us to learn more about Jesus. That's why we study Moses. There is so much in the Old Testament, and particularly the book of Exodus, that we cannot understand in the New Testament unless we did that thorough study. And what Moses is telling us and reminding us is follow Christ. Notice again in Acts chapter 3, verse 20 through 23, that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time of restoring all things about which God spoke the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you, and it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. Moses is important to study because he points us to Jesus. But did you notice as we read this passage one final time, the warning that goes along with this? Someone might be here tonight and say, what if I do not listen to Jesus? What if I don't want to listen to him? Notice what Moses said and repeated by Peter, who is also inspired by the Holy Spirit. He said, they will be cut off. They will be destroyed. They will be separated. They will be excluded. If I do not listen to Jesus, I will not have the privilege of the faithful that God has blessed us with. And so it reminds us, follow Jesus. Follow his word. Be diligent in his studying his word. Be diligent in applying his word. Be diligent in that when the proclamation of the word of Christ is there, we are to be there. And we are to be attentive and live it out in our everyday life. There's a story told of a lady once came to a governor. And she said to the governor, I have come to speak to you on behalf of my poor boy who is soon to die in an electric chair. Governor, I've not come to ask for justice, but for mercy. Not for his sake, but mine, she went on to say. She said, Governor, he is my only son and support. If you could do anything, do it for my sake. The governor was very courteous. He was kind, and he promised to look in the matter. Sometime later, the governor made his way to go to the prison where this lady's son was. As the governor was making his way, the young man happened to see him and mistaken him for a minister who may have been coming to talk to him, he thought, about something spiritual that he didn't want to talk about. He became very angry and very vengeful and was just very irritated. The governor came in and said, I'd like to talk to you. And the young man said, I have no time for you. Leave me alone. Get out of here. The governor said, well, if you just listen, I have some important matters that I think you'd be interested in. The young man said, I'm not interested. Get out of here. The governor said, very well. Goodbye. When the governor was gone, the warden said to the young man, how did the governor and you get along? When he learned it wasn't a minister, and he learned that it was a governor, he fell on the concrete floor. And the story goes, he says, I have insulted the only man who could save my life. How true that story is to a person who rejects Jesus Christ, the one who can save our life if we refuse to listen to him. The Old Testament has been pointing to him. The prophets have been heralding him. And the apostles proclaimed him, seeing his baptism, his life, his ministry, his death, burial, and resurrection, and proclaim it as we see in scriptures and we have today. Will we listen to Jesus? I don't know about you, but I don't want to be cut off. I don't want to be excluded. I don't want to be separated from the people of God. Instead, I want to be like Philip. You remember Philip in John chapter 1, verse 45? He had been reading the law of Moses. And when he had seen Jesus, he followed Christ because he knew that was the one that Moses had written. Tonight, will you believe what the scriptures tell us about Christ? It is so important. It's so essential. It's a matter of life and death. Will you listen to what Moses says? Will you listen what Peter says? Will you listen to Jesus Christ and apply the things he has taught in your everyday life? Maybe you are, and I praise God that you are tonight. But if you're here and you're not listening to Jesus, will you begin tonight? Will you confess your faith? Will you repent of your sins? Will you put him on in baptism and begin a new life? Maybe you've done that for some reason. You stopped listening. Will you repent? Come back home. Start listening to Jesus tonight. Come now as we stand and sing.